It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo, indeed it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this moment. Live with intention, and I do appreciate you joining us. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy hump day to you, producer Steve.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. out of all the goofy Geico commercials, that one, I think, really got our attention, and it's ingrained in us now about hump day, yes.
Oh, that's great advertising, for sure, too. So, right up front, we really appreciate technology, and in fact, I have a rig that allows me to go on location to come right into the studio, which is great. I'm doing that today. But unfortunately, sometimes technology can bite us. And right now, the phone lines are down, and we have this great show planned for you today. It is supposed to be our health and hydrocarbon show, brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas, because we know that reliable, efficient, abundant, and affordable energy really helps us power our lives. And so our hope is that we'll be talking with Robert Bryce here in the third and fourth segment. However, the phone lines are down, and so we don't know for sure if they're going to be back up to do that. And I wanted to talk with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, a great sponsor of both the shows. He's a specialist in the mortgage arena, works with a number of different companies out there to help you get the right mortgage for you. And we're going to be talking with him at the bottom of the hour. I have my fingers crossed that technology is going to be up and running. But if not, everybody, you get Steve and I for the whole hour.
Yeah. And so, dear listener, you're stuck with us.
But we've got a lot that we can talk about. So no problem on that. So that's what's going on today. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. There you'll get first look at our op-eds and our podcasts. And we have been so busy with so many different things that our podcasts, we've not quite focused on those like we will in the new year. But we are going, and we're scheduled to record a podcast with Sharona Bishop here this morning that we'll roll out this weekend. And she is America's mom. And if you remember, recently the FBI forcibly entered her home, and her children were there. And anyway, we want to find more out about that. She's been very outspoken in a very good way regarding election integrity and also how important these school board elections are. And so we will be rolling that out this weekend. So sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism is not about free stuff. That is just the carrot to get you to vote for it. And ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And it's never compassionate. They hide behind compassion to take our rights, or they hide behind community safety to take our rights. And it's never compassionate or right to do that, to take our rights, our property, our freedom, or our livelihood via public policy, weapons, excessive taxation, and unpredictable taxation, fear, coercion, or this latest one, which is government-induced inflation. And what that is, that's this silent thief. As people have saved their money and the money becomes less valuable, it's just this silent thief of inflation. And this is government-induced. It's not because we're having great inflation, because the economy is really humming and there's more demand for services and goods. It's because the government is pumping money into this economy, and it's a fake kind of economy, and it's really eating away at the value of people's dollars. My dad sat me down when I was young and explained inflation to me, Steve. I'm not sure everybody understands that. That's why these PBIs, public politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, that's how they actually fund all of their bad decisions, is through inflation. And we really see that rampant right now, Steve.
You caught me just now when you said your dad sat you down when you were young. I thought, wow, that's a long time ago.
Oh, bada boom. Ah, you got me on that one. It was a long time ago, actually.
Well, yesterday, you know, you're looking ahead, you're watching the weather forecast, and, you know, supposedly there's some snow coming. So we get the snowblower all ready to go, with one little exception. There's no gas for it. So I went out to Sam's Club to get some gas, and the lady in front of me, we were waiting for the pump, but she's standing. We struck up a conversation, and she's staring at the gas pump as her, you know, as her vehicle is being filled, and she says, I just can't believe this. And so it was a great opportunity to talk about current events.
Okay, and how'd that conversation go?
Well, like you just said, the silent thief.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Actually, not so silent in this case.
You know, people are starting to pay attention, for sure. Do you remember how much it was a gallon?
Well, again, it was at Sam's Club, so we get a little bit reduced price, which was $3.05, I think it was.
Okay. I actually found a station yesterday and filled up at, I think it was $2.75.
Wow. Well, and the one I've always been used for a barometer ever since, what's his face? No, not Biden, the other guy. Brandon took office. It is $2.99, which when it broke the $3 level, I was like, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about it in California, how expensive it is out there. And it's because those radical activists, progressive regressives out there, have continued to put on more and more taxes.
Well, taxation, yes. And also, you know, not so much the price of a barrel of oil, but all the special finagling they've done to make it environmentally friendly.
Right. And so the cost has gone up significantly. And wanted to talk with Robert Bryce, and we will, on ultimately this could create shortages and create shortages in heating our homes and our ability to move around. And quite frankly, that is what the elitists, that is what their goal is to try to prevent people from moving around and trying to prevent us from choosing what temperature we have in our home. I mean, remember all of the public policy on trying to tell you what temperature you need to have. And you know what really frustrates me? When you go into public restrooms and you only get a little slice of paper to dry your hands because it's on a monitor or whatever, it's like, do you think that the elitist, do they have monitors on how much paper towels they can have when they're going to wash their hands in different places? But no, for the everyday, for the great unwashed, we want to make sure that we're dictating just, I mean, I can't even believe it, how much paper you have to dry your hands.
Well, I'm not, and I never was a fan of Seinfeld, but I could see them doing a show on that.
For sure. So let's continue on, though. Yesterday, we did the interview with Marty Letelier. He is a Marine veteran, a Korean War veteran, and he was really there at all of the major battles in the 1950s, and ultimately, he was at the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir, which in Marine history, the Battle of Belleau Wood, Iwo Jima, the Chosin Reservoir, and Okinawa, those are really terrible battles, but they're very famous in Marine history. And it was really a terrific interview. He's 90. He'll turn 91 here soon. And it was really a great interview. That's going to broadcast this Sunday at 3. And then Charlie has this worked out that our last week broadcast with General Ron, that will broadcast on Sunday night at 10. And so this rotation is there's three different America's Veterans Stories show each weekend. The one at 3 on Sunday, then there's one at 10 on Sunday night, and also one at 10 on Saturday night. So be sure and catch those. But great interview, Steve.
It was, I think, and this is only my understanding of it. Obviously, I wasn't here yet, but I think the U.S. was kind of surprised how quickly they got drawn into another conflict after World War II. And like you said, this particular interview with Marty, the Chosin Reservoir, that whole story, the pivotal point is how cold it was for these guys. And he talks about it quite openly.
Yeah, it got to 40 below. And it began at the end of November, and it ended, I think, December 13th. That's why it's really appropriate that we'll be running that particular interview this Sunday. So be sure and check that out. But a great interview. Let's go to our quote for today, Steve. And that was Albert Einstein. And I was thinking about our health and our hydrocarbons and this reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy. And people haven't really seen the public policy that has continued to come in to really tap down our oil and gas industry. What's going to happen is one of these days people are going to wake up and they're going to say, wait a minute, energy is so expensive. I can't pursue my hopes and dreams like I used to when we had this affordable energy. And it's because a lot of people say, well, I'm not into politics. But as we are watching what's happening from a public policy standpoint, politics clearly is into you. And if there was any really silver lining to this COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption, it has woken a lot of people up that politics is really into you. And so this quote from Albert Einstein, I thought was appropriate. And Einstein was a German-born theoretical physicist, widely acknowledged to be one of the greatest physicists of all time. He's best known for developing the theory of relativity, but he also made important contributions to the development of the theory of quantum mechanics. He was born in 1879. He died in 1955. And this is what he said. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. And I think he pretty well nails it, Steve.
Well, it's not intentional, and I don't know if you want to go there, but that's a great segue into that Clinton thing I was just sharing with you before we went on the air.
Right, and that was a headline regarding the Clinton Foundation, correct?
Yeah, and it's been popping up in several different sources that all of a sudden, well, I'm going to say it's all of a sudden only because it's making the news, but the Clinton Global Initiative, this whatever you want to call, how you describe it, people pouring money, millions of dollars into the Clintons' hands while they still had some level of political power. Well, now that it's become rather apparent or obvious, those two are not going to be in any political office probably ever again. These contributions have totally dried up. And in the process, it's kind of bringing a light, shining a light on all the graft that was going on for the last 20 plus years.
Well, clearly what has happened, and again, you go back to the income tax amendment that was passed during they're called kind of the progressive amendments to the Constitution. It was back in, it was like 1914, 1915. It was, I think, under Woodrow Wilson. And so put into the Constitution taxing income. Then government gets involved in, well, nonprofits don't have to pay income tax. And so, but yet the government then approves who gets to be a nonprofit. I mean, we're just going through this whole progression. And then you see that PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, interested parties, the Clintons, they figure out a way to use their nonprofit, and people can donate to that, get a tax write-off, or I think they probably got donations from outside the country as well, but they get a tax write-off for donating to that. Then the Clintons use that, they're buying influence with the Clintons, and the Clintons then have money to do a variety of different things. So I think a lot of it really goes back to the income tax amendment. And that was probably passed, once again, out of envy of, we're going to tax the rich. But it opened the door for all of these other things to occur. I would actually recommend that we get rid of the income tax and that we get people back to a level playing field. Everybody has skin in the game. Make taxes lower. I think government really should all in be able to exist on 10%, and get government limited again, so that people have more money in their pocket and they can decide then which churches and which charities that they want to support. Now, I know that that seems really radical, but the fact that people would have more of their money, and then it would be a free market on which charities they support. So many charities now, they have all this grant writing. And when I first heard about grant writing, it's like, what's that? Well, they're grant writing, applying for grants from the federal government. And then once a government, or it could be a state government as well, once you start to take money from those entities, they have you. Then they have to, they tell you, you know, what you can and cannot do. So I really think that we should have people keep more of their money. And if a charity is not performing, then people don't continue to give money to that. So I think this is all, I think this could all be fixed. But going back to your headline, Steve, is they set up a nonprofit, people got tax write-offs for it, they were buying in political influence, and the Clintons were using it for, you know, different political aspirations that they had. Does that button that up?
Well, almost. I guess I'd need to button it up, just like you just said. You know, my line of thinking after reading Einstein's quote about, you know, not the evildoers themselves, but by the people watching them who do nothing. I just put on social media a while ago. I said, if the good ship United States does have some holes in its hull, this has to be one of the bigger ones. The fact that wrongdoing, in this case, the Clintons, goes unpunished. And yes, now that their global initiative funds are drying up and contributions are drying up, we're starting to see exactly how much bad money started coming their way from a variety of different sources. But what's to become of it? And, you know, they're flouting the rule of law, and the fact that, you know, let alone what she was doing when she was still Secretary of State, it just goes on, and it's doing a lot of damage.
It has done a lot of damage. Let's go to break, and I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is a great sponsor of the show and also of America's Veteran Stories. They have five locations. That is Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And Wednesdays are Wings Day. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free, and that's for dine-in or to-go. And in fact, the girls are coming over tonight for our Christmas exchange, so I will be getting some of those great Hooters wings for that. Be sure and check out my website. I have all of our sponsors located there, and I highly recommend each and every one of them. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. Steve, I wanted to just mention something is regarding the Clintons. I mean, when we look at potential real wrongdoing, and your concern is really, will they be brought to justice, I think, in the legal system? But I think that we need to remember that there's actually also something bigger than all of us as well. And America was set up. We want impartial justice, and that is our goal for sure. But do you remember when Andrew and Chris Cuomo were like really at the top of their game? What Andrew Cuomo got an Emmy for, what his reaction to what he did as governor of New York regarding the reaction to the virus. And those two look like they were untouchable. And here now, they have really fallen from grace. And I find that just interesting. There's something bigger out there. And as we all search for truth and clarity with what we do on this show and so many other people throughout the country, there's so many people that are waking up. There are so many people that are starting different groups to get their brains around these issues. And so I think we also have to remember, Steve, that there is something bigger than all of us here. And I would never have dreamed that those two guys would have fallen from grace the way they have.
Thank you for that reminder. And you've hit on the fact that, you know, I have no patience. You know, when I saw these things going down, you know, back when, you know, Hillary was still Secretary of State and her illegal server and all her other antics, you know, I wanted someone to jump in right then and there with both feet. And, you know, I wanted to see your pictures of her in handcuffs. But you're right. If you're patient enough, you know, you'll get what you you know, what you're looking for.
Right. But that's why each and every day, Steve, I mean, we are imperfect people. Each of us are imperfect people. However, each and every day when I say live with intention, strive for excellence, that's really what we need to do. And we need to do that not only personally, but also in our communities and for our country. And if we always keep focused on that North Star, and this whole idea of America was based on the Judeo-Christian worldview of the value of the individual. It has opened up. I was just thinking about the opportunities that we have. We as Americans, even those that are considered on the lower economic spectrum, we have things. We have cars and we have phones and we have warm homes and we have refrigerators. And these kinds of things really allow us to live a life, as Rick Turnquist says, at the pinnacle of human flourishing. And with that, there is a responsibility. And we see that sometimes we don't take that responsibility of what we do with our time seriously. Now, I know I probably sound like a mom on all this, but it's important, the choices that we make each and every day, Steve.
I have nothing to come back on that. I mean, I agree. So moving on.
Okay. So let's continue on. First of all, a couple of things. Two of the school boards that we had school board candidates on, and that was Colorado School District 11 and Colorado School District 20. Both of those school board candidates were successful, and both of those school boards down in Colorado Springs have taken off their mask mandates for their students and given it back to choice. And I know that last night there was that discussion with the new school board at Douglas County as well. I was looking for headlines, and I don't see anything on that yet. I know that there were a lot of people signed up for comment on that. But congratulations to Colorado School District 11 and Colorado School District 20 for their choice on that and a standing for freedom. That's pretty exciting, and really excited. I am. I'm very excited about that, Steve.
I'm working the phone issue here, and I only heard a portion of that. But yes, it sounds like it went the way it was supposed to go when people get involved and make the right choice.
Absolutely. And it is a lot of hard work. So I want to continue on with some of the headlines that Patty has pulled here. This is a first one. It's from the Epoch Times. And when we had Josh Phillip on yesterday, asked about the pronunciation, he said the U.S. pronunciation is epic. I think the British Canadian is epoch, and so and he says epoch, so I thought, you know what, I think I'm going to do that since Josh does that. But anyway, they report that Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for federal contractors is now blocked nationwide. And it said a federal court on Tuesday blocked President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for federal contractors. Georgia and other plaintiffs suing Biden over the mandate will likely succeed in their claim that the president exceeded the authorization given to him by Congress. U.S. District Judge R. Stan Baker, a Trump nominee, wrote in a 28-page decision agreeing to enter a preliminary injunction. Baker barred Biden and his administration from enforcing the mandate in any state, an expansion of a November 30th ruling that applied to just three states. This mandate was going to take effect on January 4, 2022, and the deadline originally delayed in November was initially set for December 8th. And this is, I mean, this is like almost hand-to-hand combat in the ideological arena, but this is very exciting, Steve.
All I can say is yay. And then I sit back and I think, try to visualize these meetings that the administration has when they contemplate this kind of stuff. And is there anybody in that crowd, in that group of people who says, you know, this could be a huge governmental overreach here, or at least in part of the presidency and the balance of powers? And, you know, does everyone else in the room just scoff? It's like, oh, no, this is the president's office. We can do whatever we want.
Well, and that is the thing. I don't think they're having conversations to say, is this constitutional? Is this best for the American people? It seems that their conversations are, we're going to do this and we're going to see if they can stop us. And when you have an administration that has that attitude, we're in a very concerning time. And people, we know that. But that is why the American idea is truly being tested. Our American justice system is being tested. And that's why we need to understand these issues. We need to understand them so that we can talk with our friends, our family, and our colleagues, because there is so much information out there. They're trying to create chaos. They're trying to create confusion. But if we continue to search for it, we will find the truth. And then again, another example, I go back to the Cuomo brothers, that here they were at the pinnacle. But as we continue to search for truth and clarity each and every day, we don't know what's going to happen. But that is what we are supposed to do, Steve.
Well, I like your phrase that it's this thing about being tested, just like we don't need police forces anymore was a test. And that seems to be failing, too. More and more of these cities who are so plagued, but you know, by this whole effort to push back on, do we really need police? They're going the other direction now.
And first and foremost, we realize people like safe communities, and instead of exporting crime to all communities, which is what is happening with this defund the police thing, instead let's import safety from the suburbs into the cities. I'll tell you, Steve, I am not interested in going into Denver whatsoever. When we had that headline just recently that down by Union Station, which is a place that I used to be pre-COVID, I used to go down there and meet friends, family for lunch many times. Cool area. They poured millions of dollars into that, millions of dollars into it. And now because of crime, those vendors there are probably, I mean, I don't know if they're still in business or not, but if people don't come to your business, you're going to go out of business. And that's because the neighborhood is not safe. Well, and that's one of the bedrocks of a community, of a country, is safety.
To your point, and I know we got to go to break here, but Fox News, when they covered this story, Fox 31, there was some aerial footage of Union Station and all this really, really nice, beautiful architecture for all the new structures that have been put around it, and let alone what was done inside Union Station. And now you have this plague or this cancer that's making it all for naught.
And you know where the people that are responsible for this is Governor Polis and also Mayor Hancock. That is where the buck stops, is right there, and the policies that they put in place. Now, both of those guys are somewhat Teflon as far as they have used their agencies to do to do their dirty work, if you will. And from a political standpoint, sometimes they come through looking pretty good. But that is where the responsibility is Mayor Hancock and also Governor Polis. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with the conversation with Steve and I. We're having some telephone challenges. And so the way we thought the show was going to be has changed a little bit. We'll get both of our guests rescheduled. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Life is more than what we have in the bank. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse with Three Points Financial understand that comprehensive financial planning is an important component for each individual to thrive and prosper. Three Points Financial provides tax, investment, and retirement planning so that you can achieve your financial independence. With so much public policy uncertainty, it is important to have the professionals at Three Points Financial working for you to navigate those uncharted waters. Check out ThreePointsFinancial.com to schedule your initial consultation to achieve your financial freedom. That's ThreePointsFinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I do want to say thank you to Laramie Energy and Karis Oil and Gas for sponsoring this show. And also, we will be rescheduling Robert Bryce to talk about energy inequality. And he's got a new book out about that. So that's going to be fascinating. We'll let you know when we're going to do that. And then Lauren Levy, who is a sponsor of both of the shows, I wanted to talk with him about Chairman Powell regarding inflation and apparently starting to acknowledge that inflation may be here instead of just transitory. And so I want to find out about that with Lauren, so we'll get him rescheduled as well. Another great sponsor of the show is Kirsch Insurance Group. And trying to figure out this whole Medicare thing, I'm so glad that we have them, and you really want them on your side of the table. So apparently for January 1, we had been talked about this open enrollment period, and that was from October 15th through December 7th. Obviously, that's over. But I guess you do get one chance for a do-over beginning January 1. So we'll have, I think, Danielle on next Monday, and she's going to explain that. But Kirsch Insurance Group is really a great Medicare specialist, and you can get more information at iKirsch.com. That's iKirsch.com, and be sure and check that out. Steve, the next headline I wanted to mention was, again, this is from the Epoch Times. And in it, this is by Jack Phillips. He says, a top World Health Organization official, that's WHO, said that there is no evidence to suggest that CCP virus booster doses would offer greater protection to healthy people. Dr. Mike Ryan, the WHO's emergency director, questioned the logic of some countries trying to produce more booster doses to vaccinate anyone aged 18 and older. And it says, right now, there is no evidence that I'm aware of that would suggest that boosting the entire population is going to necessarily provide any greater protection for otherwise healthy individuals against hospitalization and death. He says the real risk of severe disease, hospitalization, and death lies in particular in at-risk and vulnerable individuals who do not require protection against all variants of COVID-19. But what he doesn't go on to say is that these boosters really do help a big pharma with a healthy bottom line, that in fact, it's very effective for them from an income standpoint. And I find it really frustrating that when we're talking about COVID-19 vaccine requirements, that we never talk about the treatments that are available there, as well as the fact that if you've had COVID, you have antibodies. It's beyond belief that that is not something that is being discussed at these high-level places where they want to really force, again, mass mandates and vaccine passports, Steve.
Well, what's the phrase that you use? Big corporations and big government love each other.
They do.
And Big Pharma falls under that umbrella. And I looked again Monday. It's still there. And anybody can search on stock price, Johnson & Johnson stock price, or Pfizer stock price, or Moderna stock price, and pull up the one-year option. I guarantee you all three of them, their stock is up noticeably over a year ago.
And again, as we said, big government and big business like each other. And big government, big business has will recommend putting in, well, and I'm just going to go to, what it does is it can reduce the competition. Let's go to XL Energy. XL Energy, big business and big government like each other. And XL is using government policies here in Colorado, so influencing government policies to then put in rules and regulations, which actually really is closing down the coal industry. And there was legislation back in 2010 that was put in place, and actually it was bipartisan to try to shut down our coal industry. And they're using that as a template to try to shut down our oil and gas industry now as well. And so XL's using government, they're influencing government, they're in bed with each other, trying to close down this other industry. And let's just then play that out. They're trying to push people into one particular energy source, electricity, which actually still has to be backed up by oil and gas. But electricity, you put in more demand and the price is going to go up. It's going to limit people's availability or the ability to move around, to heat their homes. And again, it's because big government and big business like each other, Steve.
Well, it's to the back, you know, in this particular discussion, it's a two-pronged effort between the big pharma, which stands to gain, you know, monetarily, and also government, who wants to, you know, take away more of the rights and more of the freedoms and, you know, exercise more control.
Exactly. Let's go. And with that, then let's go to another headline here. And this is from Zero Hedge. And it says the FDA wants 55 years to release vaccine approval documents. September 30th, scientists and professors filed a lawsuit to force the FDA to release the documents it reviewed to approve the Pfizer COVID vaccine. The scientists wanted to settle the ongoing public debate regarding the adequacy of the FDA's review process, which should confirm the FDA's conclusion that Pfizer's vaccine is safe and effective and thus increase confidence in the Pfizer vaccine. The lawsuit says that the FDA refused the expedited processing of the Scientists' Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, request on grounds that they did not demonstrate an urgent need. The scientists replied, during a time when COVID-19 vaccine mandates are being implemented over the objection of those that have questions about the data and information supporting the safety and efficacy of the Pfizer vaccine, and individuals with these questions are being expelled from employment, school, transportation, restaurants, entertainment facilities, the military, the public has an urgent and immediate need to have access to this data. But the FDA said that it would be too much work, but because it has to review each document to redact confidential information. The FDA proposed releasing the documents on a rolling basis of 500 pages per month, which would mean it would just take 55 years before the FDA released all 329,000 pages of documents it used to approve the Pfizer COVID vaccine. Somehow they could properly review these documents to approve a new vaccine in a matter of months, but it would take 55 years to review them to release it to the public.
Would you venture a guess that none of the major media networks covered that little story, that little gem?
I don't think so.
What? This is a lawsuit, so it's basically going back and forth, lawyer to lawyer type of thing. It's not a trial per se, right?
Right.
Because I want to know why the FDA was allowed to make that distinction. It's like, oh, well, you did not prove or demonstrate an urgent need.
I don't know the answer for sure, but I know that sometimes there's been legislation or policies put in place. And again, 329,000 pages. And to the point, I mean, this is what is so important to understand, is that they said that it's going to take 55 years to let the public know this. But yet, on the other hand, it only took a few months for them to come in and make the decision, which now they're using to basically say, you don't take the jab, you don't have a job, you don't get to do all of these other things. Again, that doesn't seem very transparent to me, Steve.
Well, it's not. And here's a direct line for people who really want to try to figure this thing out to really shed some light on it. And they're being thwarted.
And the other thing is just the legal costs. When you are in something where the FDA has government money, they have unlimited funds for their attorneys, these doctors, they don't have unlimited funds. And so sometimes, and that's why we need to have tort reform here in America as well. We need to change that. The trial attorneys don't want to do that, but that's a whole nother discussion. I wanted to go over to this this next headline, Steve, and this is the real problem with mask mandates from AIER, David McGrogan. And he said, here in Britain, masks are back. Almost all COVID restrictions, including the requirement to wear masks in any setting, were lifted back in July. And it felt like we were on a slow but sure return to blissful normality. But Omicron has changed that. And we're now expected to wear masks again in shops and on public transport. He said, not in hospitality settings, at least for the next 3 weeks. And he goes on to say that to readers elsewhere in the world who have in many places been forced to mask up unrelentingly for a year and a half, it may sound churlish to complain. But if there's anything more dispiriting than freedom curtailed, it is a freedom returned and then snatched away. The message sent is bleak. No, this isn't over. No, it might never be over. Yes, the state is going to retain its capacity to do this kind of thing forever. So get used to it. And it goes on to say, arguments over the legitimacy of government mask mandates are frustrating because they tend to tangle up both normative and empirical assertions. Those in favor of mask wearing tend to argue that masks work, he said, an empirical statement, and since they do, it is legitimate for the government to make it unlawful not to wear one, which is a normative position. From the other corner, often said that masks don't work, and that since they don't work, the government has no business in mandating them. But this is, I think, the key paragraph here. He says, this all excludes the middle. Masks may very well work, or they may not, but that is really immaterial to the question of whether wearing them should be a legal requirement. There are plenty of things that might plausibly work to stop people getting sick and dying. The government could ban all sales of milkshakes, marshmallows, and ice cream tomorrow, for instance, and cut down on obesity and heart disease. But it doesn't follow that it should. And then he goes on to say, English political philosopher Michael Oakeshott helps us frame the argument more clearly. He says, there were at work in modern society two moral systems that can be referred to of the morality of the individual and the anti-individual. And the distinction between these two understandings really hinges on where the capacity to exercise moral choice to decide what is right or wrong is located. And that really is the key of what's going here. And it's this big fight on freedom, the freedom of the individual. And so whether or not masks work or not is really not the question. The question is the tyrannical taking away of individual freedom. I thought that was a really important piece. And again, you can find that at AIER by David McGrogan, Steve.
That's an excellent piece. I love the way he injects that. Well, now does the government need to get involved with what, limiting marshmallows and ice cream and whatever else he mentioned to pull back on obesity and heart disease? Because, hey, can you draw a line between the two? Well, maybe you can, but it all still comes back to that freedom of choice.
Well, and we need to be responsible for our choices. And what happens then is government gets more involved in each of these different things. So, for example, when government got involved in the healthcare industry, then as Dr. Jill has always said, when government gets involved, typically the supply goes down, the price goes up, and supply is limited, the price goes up, and the quality goes down. And you can see that across the spectrum here. And then what happens is they need to start to make decisions on who gets what care. So you see this right now with this bigotry, this new bigotry against the unvaccinated. Why is it that it's vaccinated versus unvaccinated, trying to put people into groups? And again, it doesn't take into account the fact that if people contract COVID, early treatment, there are early treatments out there that the PBIs have really poo-pooed, if you will. And then also, if people have had COVID, they have natural antibodies. Why is that? There's a dishonesty in not having everything on that on the conversation. So the real risk of COVID, and it is a real thing, is not just COVID. The real risk on this is the tyrants. And that is, again, the veil is off on what is happening there. Steve, final comment on this before we go to break.
I think I've already said it. It comes back to freedom of choice. Maybe this isn't a good correlation. I'm old enough to remember when the warnings were started to go out on packs of cigarettes about the Surgeon General has determined blah, blah, blah. And they did it. That's as far as they thought they needed to go. And it was a matter of freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree on that. Let's go to break. I've got a couple of other headlines that I want to go through. Before we do that, though, another great sponsor of the shows is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And they are located right in Staley, Colorado, family-owned business. And they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. They also have other specialty items, I guess. I think I'm going to try to get out there tomorrow. But these cutting boards that are made right here in Colorado, great gift item as well. And they now have a pop-up store at the Castle Rock Mercantile as well. And then, of course, their website, which is castlegate.com, castlegate.com. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Something very interesting has happened with Senator Bennett and money coming into his reelection campaign, and it's something that you need to know about. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Next headline I wanted to go through is from Colorado Peak Politics. And it says, Bennett gets campaign donation from lobbyists with Russian pipeline connections. Now, remember when President Brandon took office, one of the first things he did was to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline right here from Canada going through the United States. And of course, then we realize or have heard that Biden is supporting this Nord Stream 2 pipeline. But guess what? Bennett is getting some money from one of these lobbyists. Let's go on here. It says, what is Nord Stream 2 and why should you care that a major Democrat lobbyist firm representing nearly a half dozen companies with financial stakes in the pipeline is contributing to U.S. Senator Michael Bennett's reelection campaign? It says, glad you asked. Nord Stream 2 is an undersea pipeline for Russia to sell natural gas to Germany, which is strongly opposed by Ukraine because they will lose out on natural gas imports. But Biden waived sanctions against the nearly completed pipeline in May. And now Russian military forces are amassing along the Ukraine border, preparing for an invasion. Some in Congress want to impose sanctions against Russia for this aggression. And now more than ever, we need to know where Bennett stands on this pipeline and sanctions waived by Biden. And whether Congress should now impose sanctions on Russia before they invade Ukraine. As for those political donations to Bennett, Axios reports that McLarty Inbound, the foreign lobbying arm of Mac McLarty's consulting firm, is representing five companies with financial stakes in the Nord Stream project. And guess what, Steve? McLarty is former President Clinton's chief of staff. And he has donated personally to Schumer and Democrat Senators Tim Kaine of Virginia, Jackie Rosen of Nevada, Michael Bennett of Colorado, Pat Leahy of Vermont, and Chris Coons of Delaware. And former Democrat State Representative Vincent Riberti of Connecticut also received money. This should be, again, of great concern to us. First of all, do you not think that it's pretty awful that President Clinton's former chief of staff is representing these different firms that are in support of the Nord Stream 2? I mean, this is just so incestuous on how this whole thing comes down, Steve.
Do you want a good illustration of what a former president used to call the swamp? There it is.
Exactly.
Actually, you know, if I really get into it, set this particular immediate story aside and say, what is this whole thing called lobbying in the first place? What good has ever come out of some lobbyist telling or arm-twisting a politician and tell him how to vote? If that politician doesn't know how to vote on something, let him ask his constituents, not a lobbyist.
Well, and again, as government has gotten more and more complicated, and I think it was Madison that said that the law should not be so voluminous that everyday people cannot understand it. And so I mentioned earlier, chaos, confusion, and with all of the 24-hour news cycle and all the information coming at people, it's difficult to discern what's happening. But it's also difficult for representatives to understand what's going on out there as well. And so instead of having lobbyists to explain it, I think that one of the first things that we should do, Steve, is any legislation that is passed, and I think it was Adam Andrzejewski with Open the Books, he's trying to say that get different representatives, politicians, to actually sign something to say that they have read something before they actually passed it. That would rein in government very quickly, not only at the federal level, but at the state and local level as well, Steve.
And last but not least, it's Bennett's turn to run for re-election next year. And, you know, here, let me contribute to your campaign.
Yes, exactly. And with that, I think there are 8 or 9 Republicans that have declared that are running against him. And it's a really impressive field of people that have declared to do that. I kind of wish that some of them instead might step forward and run for Secretary of State, Attorney General, and State Treasurer, because there seems to be a dearth of good candidates in that arena right now, at least from what I understand. But there's some good people running against Bennett, and it's unfortunate that the media isn't connecting this dot with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, and then McLarty, Clinton, Bennett, and you would hope that if we had media that was doing their job, that they would let people know about that. Let's see, one other thing that I wanted to mention, and that is that apparently, it says the Colorado auditor finds that there was $73 million in likely fraudulent unemployment payments, including going to dead people. And it said there were 8,200 unduplicated claims for $73.1 million in payments between March of 2020 and April 30th. And then it goes through that. But it does note, which I found very interesting, is that I think it was California. They had billions of dollars, I thought. Maybe I'm not finding that right now. But anyway, whenever you get government involved, picking winners and losers, then you also see fraud that happens as well, Steve.
It reminds me of an editorial cartoon where the guy standing at the gates of a cemetery, and on his hat was a little sign that says, "Get out the vote." And someone else saying to him, "Don't even think about it."
I know. Let's see. I had one other thing that I wanted to mention. Oh, we're getting kind of low on time. But I think another thing. This is what it was I wanted to mention. It's stated here. Remember, Colorado's COVID exposure system for smartphones is getting a lot of use during the recent surge. And it says, Patty noted that it stated at the end of the article, the state did not pay for it, only marketing expenses totaling $750,000. But it's taxpayer money at the federal level, and over 3 million people gave up their privacy. And I think that that's really important to understand as well, that they have been tracking us. We knew that when you get into your car and your phone says that it's maybe, you know, 20 minutes to a place that you go on a regular basis, it's pretty scary, Steve, that you know that they're tracking us.
Well, yes. And wasn't this the one that, wait a minute, I'm getting my stories confused.
Yeah, I mean,
a couple of things popped out of the woodwork that there was unexpected expense that Polis's cronies were compensated for.
Right. They had a no-bid contract to put in place this tracking as well. And again, that was taxpayer money that's being used to track citizens on this. And we have to ask, to what is the end on this? And that is why the danger with COVID-19, yes, there it is a thing, and a certainly to be taken seriously. But there are therapeutics out there. There are treatments. People that have had it have the natural antibodies. And so the real risk with COVID-19 is this tyrannical government overreach by all of these politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And that is why we need to stand against that, and people are doing so. So our quote for today, though, I wanted to end the show with Albert Einstein, and I thought this was super appropriate as well. He said, "The only thing more dangerous than ignorance is arrogance." So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
You know, before you leave your microphone, I wonder what happened if Einstein were to take a walk around the Colorado State House.
That's for sure. So again, and that quote is, and it's so appropriate. He says, "The only thing more dangerous than ignorance is arrogance." So my friends, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.